We all know that staff training and coaches' education are paramount in both maintaining a strong program as well as continuously improving. We also know how expensive it can be to send coaches to educational events. Flights, hotels, meals, not to mention the actual registration costs. Wouldn't it be nice to bring the coaches' education event to your gym? Wouldn't it be even better to see the demonstrations of the drills and techniques using your own equipment? Oh, and wouldn't it be amazing if your staff had a couple of hours each day to get some one-on-one time with the presenters? They could discuss information from lectures at length, troubleshoot. Ooh, and what if you could have a say in customizing the actual material that's presented so that you and your staff get exactly what they need? Well, the time has come. Cornerstone Conventions brings the coaches education event straight to your gym on your schedule. This is a personalized approach to continuing education. Sessions are led by top gymnastics clinicians and educators in North America and can cover technical, competitive, recreational, preschool, business, management, you name it. Find out how gyms are saving a ton of money and receiving the absolute best in coaches education and staff training. Email cornerstoneconventionsgym@gmail.com. Again, that's cornerstoneconventionsgym@gmail.com, and get your staff ready for education and motivation.
When I first got to the scene, I didn't know who Mara was.
That's awesome.
I know who Bella was, but I didn't know who Mara was.
Yeah.
And she came to me the first time, and then she said, "Hi. Good job. Hi, Anya, of course. Good job. You had a great vaulting. Let me see how good you are on floor." And I said, "Thank you." But I didn't know who she was.
Thanks, lady.
I know. It was just like, okay, she's a fan. Believe it or not, I thought she was a fan. And then when I got invited by... I'm sorry, but
amazing. You thought Marta was just a fan complimenting your gymnastics. Hey guys, and welcome back to another full episode of What Makes You Think, the gymnastics season, where I flip the traditional interview format, showing you a unique and often funny side to some of your favorite figures in gymnastics. My guest today is one of the first gymnasts to prove that you do not need to be a teenager to succeed in this sport. Her resume includes 2 silver and 2 bronze at the Pan American Games. She's also a bronze medalist at the World Championships on vault, the first for her country. And she's got 2 silver medals from the Athens Olympics. She is the epitome of persistence. When most would give up due to injury and untimely surgery and issues with federations, she persisted. My guest today is Miss Anya Hatch. All right. Anya, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, of course. Of course. I wanted to have you on for a while, so I'm glad that it worked out. And you mentioned that you have listened to some episodes, so you're relatively familiar with the format and that we like to do a little warm up at the beginning.
Okay.
Okay. You look a little nervous. Are you nervous?
I know a little bit. Just a little bit.
Don't be. It's all positive. So what we're going to do is I'm going to read you a few quotes and I want you to try to guess who said them. And all these quotes are about you.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Here we go. The first one is, "I roomed with her and she really is the most sweetest, kindest person in the entire world." This is from a roommate.
Mohini Mahawatch?
Yes, ma'am. There you go.
Good.
And when I reached out and asked her for a quote, she didn't even pause. She responded right away with that. That was her initial instinct. So that says a lot.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Here's another one. "She came back and made her dreams come true. She's a good example for the young athletes who think that once you get a certain age, it's over. It's over when you decide it's over. You follow your dream until it comes true. And Anya is all of that."
Wow, that's a very nice quote. Thank you. Carly Patterson?
No, I'm going to add something. This person also said that he uses you as an example all the time when he's coaching.
Jean Alvarez?
Yes, there you go. Yes.
Oh, that's sweet. Sweet of him. I love him. You know, we are working together and he's fun to work with.
I bet. I bet. Never a dull moment, I bet. So I reached out to him and asked, and he sent me some voice recordings. And I think it was a total of like 7 minutes of just him talking about you. There was so much that he had to say. So maybe that's a whole other episode, but I just pulled the line.
Super.
So you're not in Connecticut anymore, right? Are you in Virginia? Is that right?
No, I was in Virginia. 4 years ago, I moved to New York.
Oh, okay.
And now since then, I've been working. And of course, the pandemic, it was a little bit slow. And then after now, I'm working again with and like doing like clinics in the computers and going in the gyms and doing some clinics here and there, helping Jean Alvarez as well with the PYL organization. And it's just been great. Been great since my kids also, that's a full-time job, of course.
Your kids are so gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, I have two kids also. I have a 4 and 6 year old boy and girl. So to me, they're the most beautiful kids in the world. So it's funny sometimes you see somebody else's kids and you're going, I saw them and I took my breath away. They're so beautiful.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Them. I'm looking at you, so I'm not surprised that they're beautiful, but I just wanted to tell you that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Outside of clinics, so you've got a lot of abilities. You've got the Anya Cares project. You've got a clothing line. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. I used to. Now I just slow down and trying to get with the PYL, trying to do the clothing line again, but not at this moment.
Are you a judge also?
I did. Yes. Yes. I'm a... brevet judge as well. Yes. it comes with the territory. You have to do as much as you can to be able to, you know, get everything, all the bills paid and all that, of course. But
I hear you. Yeah, there became a point in my career where I was like, I should probably also be a judge. It just seems like you're doing this other stuff. Yeah, I should probably judge too. So it makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I did it for my, when I was doing the full-time job thing, because now with my kids, it's hard. For many years, I was a head coach in different gyms, and it was always useful to have the eye of a judge and the eye of a coach right there. And, the opportunity presented to me and I said, of course, let's just do it. Why not?
Yeah. So what was that process? Was this one of the things where they invited you to come take a course and take the test because of your status
Correct.
As a former?
Yes. Was that when it used to be the Bella's camp, Irma Fear, and then we did the clinic and the course as well in the ranch. And it was an intense, we did the whole 2 days was like more than 8 hours on that. And then at the end of the 2 days, you had to do the course. And that's how it was. It was just in the classroom for a whole weekend, learning what you needed to do. And then there's the course at the end. So it was interesting. And then it taught me a lot of what I needed to know in the lead level, of course. And from there, it's everything is going to be more easier, and the all compulsory and optional as well. Yeah. So that was very useful.
So things have changed a lot since you were an elite, huh?
Yes.
So when you're watching gymnastics now, if that was the code of points that was in existence when you were competing?
No, not at all. It was the 10 star value. I'm sorry. The star value finals 10. Yeah. And that's it. You had the bonus to get to 10. And from there, and that's it. That was the best score. And now it's like, you know, all these different bonuses and the execution and this and that. And I'm like, for me, it's hard to understand. For other people that don't understand gymnastics, it's what just happened? Yeah. But, you know, it's still, it's what you love and how you have to, you know, navigate in that world. But I love the olden days. It was like the 10. That's what I like. You know, the 10 perfect 10, you know, Nadia Comaneci, all that. Perfect 10. It was just amazing to watch. Now you don't know who did more, who did less. You just know those big tricks, and everybody's doing big tricks. So what's the difference? But, you know, people get used to it. Hopefully it goes back to 10 again.
I know a lot of people hope that. But I wonder, like, looking at your gymnastics, your difficulty was very high, to the point where you very well could have done less and still been very competitive. You're just there, that you had that ability. So do you ever think about, though, that, like, okay, what routines would I have done? Like, what else could I combine together back if the open-ended code existed then? Do you ever think about that?
Yes, especially when I see Simone Biles doing all those big tricks, and you kind of compare yourself even if you don't want to. Okay. I'm like, no, she's up here, and then, but you go there, like, in your thinking, right? And you say, well, I had to, like, really, to be out of this, I had to do full in, full out, do full in the middle pass, like I used to, and with a double lay, and something like that, and of course do another third pass with double salto. And then from double salto, and then I think that would have been okay. That's floor bars. I don't know, bars, it would have been a struggle.
Bars Beam, is would have been bars is crazy now,
but it's crazy. I don't know. I mean, how can you do like 5 releases without doing a kip or a giant? I'm like, how do they do that now? Like,
I
look at them, I'm like, how? And that's the norm now. 5 releases back to back. And then I said, wait, maybe I would have just been a vaulter and a floor specialist, and that's it.
But, you know, that's one of the things that I always loved about you as a fan, was that you were initially thought of as a vaulter. And then we start watching you, and we get into, you know, the year before the Olympics and championships, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, hello. No, I can actually do all 4 events really well. Watch this. I mean, you evolved so much on those other events, even though you might not have had to. So what was that decision? Was that more of you wanted to prove that you could fill in anywhere? Or was that just you wanting to continue to improve because you love the sport?
Yes. When I first came back, I didn't expect it at all that I was going to go like that fast in the scene and going to right away to nationals. And then I just came out just to have fun. And, but I looked at the, you know, my time before my time, Tasha Schweiker, the vaulter that was right and up and going, her last name, or Chucho Vitina, and all those big names. And I was like, no, I have to compete and then see what they're doing and compete just to be there, just to see.
Right.
But it was a struggle the first half a year. It was a struggle for me to get to qualifying. And then I thought, okay, well, it's okay. But then as soon as I got into the first classic, and I was like, oh, I got 4th place. Wow. And then went on, and then I get to the other USA classic, and then I got first. I was like, that was amazing for me to like experience that. Those first like goals, and then you just achieve it, and then successfully, it changed my mind and said, okay, now it's not a game anymore, and it's a reality. And mm-hmm. It put a lot of pressure on me, because yes, I came in and I was in the scene. I was like 10 years older than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Everybody was 16. I was 26 at the Olympics. So it was a lot of pressure with that. But I also remind that I came back to have fun and not to get my stress on back the way it was before in Cuba. So I was pretty happy that I got there and I experienced everything I experienced.
You looked happy. You really did. And there's a clip that I've used a couple times on this show, which is when they did the announcement of your team for the Olympics. And, you know, a conversation for another time is the way that they did that was a little funky for the people that didn't make it, putting the camera on them. Like, that was awful. But you, I think you did a fist pump. Like, it was so wonderful to see, like, somebody actually showing joy.
I know. Back then, it was a little bit like, no, hold your emotions, keep the good attitude. Then, I'm going to show my excitement and and cry and my happiness. And yes, I also came out of this. I wasn't in the system, so I didn't know any better. So I was just, gotcha.
So when you made that team, from the outside, everybody's always trying to guess the team, right? They're already doing it now for the next Olympics. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And fans, it's always so fun to try to put together.
Hold on. Sorry. My baby just woke up.
Fine. Do what you got to do.
Come here. Come on, Papa. Oh, hold on. He's just waking up. Okay. Sorry.
That's okay.
Okay. Oh, hopefully he just relaxes. Sorry.
It's okay. I told you, I got two of my own. They've made many appearances on the show. So it's fine.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. For the mini-sode, they actually introduce it. They're the mini hosts for the mini episode. So all good with kids. So what I was saying, though, was from the outside, people are trying to guess the team. And we all thought that it was either Anya or Mohini for that spot. Did you feel like that too? And were you surprised that they called her and then they called you?
Yes. Yes, I was surprised, not because of it was me and Mohini. It was surprised, period, because it was just a big deal. And then coming from another country and be in the U.S. and experience that team that I always watch on TV and be part of that. It was just incredible. And yeah, they were saying that they might be strong with two specialists on vault. And I just heard that. And also I heard that two specialists on bar, so I didn't know. I never really pay attention on what was behind the scenes in terms of comments here and there and what people used to say. I just only focus on what I had to do and my job in that part. And it take all that pressure away. And it wasn't me. And then I was happy for everybody was part of it. And then I loved it. All of the girls that were very supportive. They welcomed me like I was part of this country. And then it was amazing. Amazing experience.
And you didn't have a typical path, as we know. And in the research that I did, I learned something that I actually was not aware of. In that when you, two things happened. You qualified to 96, but you couldn't.
Yes. Yes.
Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Well, when I was in Cuba, I qualified for 96 Olympics at World Championships in Puerto Rico. It was the wild card, and my country didn't have, well, that's what they told me. They have the financial to send me there. And it was devastating for me. It was a time that my coach decided to stay in Puerto Rico just because of that. And then I went back to Cuba without a coach. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to compete again. And then with that news that, no, sorry, you qualify, but you cannot go. And it just have happened, not with me only, have happened with so many athletes from Cuba. And it's sad that we had to go through all that political and all that atmosphere for an athlete that works so hard every day and just puts so much dedication into the sport, into the country. And then there you go, have the chance to go into your biggest stage and you're not able to go. And it just breaks your heart and everything. And just after that time, I just retired and move on, supposedly retired for 5 years. It was 5 years, yes. And move on with my life. And then, boom, there you go. I'm back in it without even knowing that I was in it.
So did you think you thought it was done. You thought your gymnastics was done after that. And then you realized I'm not done. I have more to do. So then were you like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to try to make the team in the hardest country that it is to make an Olympic team.
It didn't happen like that. If I would have tried to plan it, it would have never happened. It just happened. God puts, things in your life and no matter what, he would go back and then make it happen. And then you just have to be there and be thankful and pray for the best. And it just had a second chance. And that was make the team and be out there and then representing another country. It was the U.S. And then I was very glad, very happy that it was the U.S. because it's the best, the best country that I could ever be on, and the best athletes. And it was just amazing.
So let's go to 2003 now, and correct me if I'm getting my dates wrong, but even though you were a U.S. citizen, you needed Cuba to approve for you to represent the U.S. because you were still in that first year.
Correct.
And they didn't do it.
The U.S. tried very hard to approve me for the first year, and they did everything they could. Even Jimmy Carter went to Cuba. He was taking the opportunity to do some other political, and then he introduced my problem, I would say, to the government, and I guess that helped a lot. And from there, because I had all the proof that they'd retire me, and I did everything that I had to do to being released from that program, and I start over in another program in another country as well. So then you have the legally proof of holding me back forever, but they do have the legally authority to hold me for that year, and they did. And I could not go to my first world championships that I was able to qualify, but I couldn't go. And from there, I was a little scared, but then, I just prayed and it changed. The prayers was answered, and I was able to compete for the U.S. the years after that.
So did you have a moment there of going, oh my gosh, not this again?
Yes. Well, I started like competing again. I started like, oh, let's just have fun. So I always thought to myself, if it did not happen, it's because it didn't meant to happen. And it kept me grounded, and I said, okay, I had a great experience as an athlete in Cuba in terms of, go to the world championships and go to the Olympics and not make it. But at the same time, I got to a level that I wanted to. So in terms of that, in terms of the political thing, it was rough and it's tough, but at least I did what I wanted to do to get to that level. If it doesn't happen in the U.S., it's just because it meant to happen. So when it happened, I was like, yes, I'm not, this second chance, I'm not going to like let it go. Yeah. And then I ran with it. I did. Yes.
And when you were doing this, you and Mohini were really, it was weird for you to be in your mid-20s at that time. It was a big deal. Like, oh my gosh, can you believe? And now when you look at the team that we just had for the Tokyo Olympics, they were all adults, and we're seeing more and more I mean, Oksana is just another on another level with defying the limitations of age people think exist. But just in general, being in your 20s and competing at that level now, it's not really a big deal. It's pretty normal. Do you feel like you were a part of helping normalize that? Did you feel like you were doing something different at the time?
Of course. Yes, I did. I was Mohini. It started, and then I was like, okay, I'm not alone on this. And I was like, okay, why not? I mean, it's always the first time. And mm-hmm. I heard that at least I was one of the first ones successfully coming back after retirement and make an Olympic team. So there was other ones that tried and didn't succeed and didn't get to the Olympics. And me and Mohini were the first one to come back and achieve it. So, but yes, I felt out of place sometimes because, you know, coming and then be 10 years older and be married and, and everybody's going to high school still. Yeah. I was like, but it was also very, rewarding because I was able to help the other athletes, especially at the Olympics, to calm themselves and be there for them when they were having a tough workout and in general and all the other stress throughout and you know. I was there and I was calm, you know, of course I had a lot of pressure on me, but I was also trying to be calm for them.
And speaking of being an adult in a world that was predominantly younger athletes and under a different, I don't even want to call it leadership, but different, what should have been leadership roles. Now, I know I keep bringing up Mohini. I think this is the last time in her episode.
No, she's the best.
She is the best.
She's the best.
In her episode, she talked about how she stood up to Marta and said, if you have something to say to me, you can talk to me. Don't try to embarrass me in front of other people. And after that happened, she said everything shifted and she had Marta looked at her in a different way, treated her with the respect that she deserved, probably because she had the cojones to actually say something. Where did you fit in that? Where did you feel like you stood in that athlete team coordinator relationship?
It was an interesting relation, me and Mara. I think it was a mutual respect. I never had I had a different here and there. I would say like type of things like communication, the beginning with when I first got to the scene, I didn't know who Mara was.
That's awesome.
I know who Bella was, but I didn't know who Mara was.
Yeah.
And she came to me the first time she said, "Hi, good job. You have, hi, Anya, of course. Good job. You had a great vaulting. Let me see how good you are on floor." And I said, "Thank you." But I didn't know who she was.
Thanks, lady.
I know. It was just like, okay, she's a fan. Believe it or not, I thought she was a fan. and then when I got invited by... I'm sorry, but
that is amazing. You thought Marta was just a fan complimenting your gymnastics. That's awesome.
Yes. I failed. When I first went to the camp and then I learned that she was Marta Crowley and then she was the coordinator, I was so embarrassed. I was like,
Oh, no, that's awesome. I love it.
But then it was always a mutual respect after that. And it was great relation. And there was one thing though that I got sick one time and then I was coughing on the lineup and she told me what I was coughing. Why was I coughing?
Cause I need to cough.
So then I looked at her very seriously. I was like, because I need to cough. And then I was like, and she dropped it. So, but yeah, that was a funny, but yeah, I had a good experience with her, and she respect that I was coming from another country, and again, that's my opinion. And it's not like she came at me and said that, but that I came from another country, and then I was surviving and fighting for this new spot here in the U.S. And when I hurt my knee, and everybody thought I was out, and then I proved everybody that I was in camp, and I was pushing myself, and I was ready to compete for nationals. It was, I guess, I kind of impressed her with that. So she applauded me for that, because everybody thought I was totally out of the loop and I was not going to be able to come back to gymnastics. And she saw me and was like, oh, good job. And then I was like, thank you. And
so that's kind of what you do, Anya, huh? It's kind of your thing. Like, you prove people wrong every time it seems like you're going to be done. You're like, nope.
It's how you build your character in Cuba. It's always something that there's a limitation or something that you have to fight through in Cuba. And then it builds your character with that. And then, yes, every time that I have a limitation or a problem, when I was 12, I got appendicitis in my stomach. I got an operation. I was close to be dying, and it was just very, very hard for me. And it was a whole year, and then everybody didn't think I was going to be able to come back to gymnastics. That was when I was 12. And then I proved that I'm able to do it again, and then started again competing. And I had another episode with my spina bifida that supposedly have a spina bifida. The doctors said that I'm not able to do any sports. And when I was in the age of 30, I was not going to be able to have kids and all of that thing. And then it was tough, all these things. And then it make me, like, my skin be tough. Not only my skin, my whole character be tough. So when somebody tells me no, to me, it's a yes. It's, why not? I'm going for it. And so that's the good thing about it, you know. Every time that comes, hard things comes, I just take it like I'm strong, I can do this. It builds my character, and then I go and I move on and then get going with the next thing.
Yeah.
So
you are going to have such amazing stories to teach your kids with. Because a lot of people can tell them that, you know, when one door closes, another door opens, and that if you really want something, you fight for it. I mean, you can say that, but you've lived it. And so to be able to share that with them and with our listeners right now. So everybody listening, stop complaining about what's wrong and listen to Anya's story. Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready for some videos?
Okay, let's do it. Yes.
All right, let's do it. Hey, are you 18 years or older and still competing in gymnastics? You're amazing. And because you're amazing, I want to invite you to compete in Just Flip. This competition happened last year and we're bringing it back again. This time, Just Flip has gone international. Just Flip is a virtual competition for adults only. The judges for the competition are Chelsea Memel and I, as well as some other wonderful judges from our My Gym Judge staff. So if you want to hop on this international virtual competition just for adults, head over to precisioncoreo.com/registration and click on the Just Flip link. You can also find this in the show notes. Are you ready for some videos?
Okay, let's do it. Yes.
All right, let's do it. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
That's typically the reaction when I show somebody a video from a long time ago. Oh, no. So what are we looking at here?
That was, let me look at the actual event.
It's kind of a big deal.
Yes, it was my first World Championships.
1993 World Championships vaults.
Yes, 1993, correct.
So let's talk about this World Championships in 1993.
My goodness, it was that World Championship. It was in England. This was an amazing experience for me. You know why? Because we got stuck on, let me tell you, it was a crazy trip. We got stuck in the airport and we almost missed the meet. And it was like we were 12 hours in the airport to go to England.
Oh, wow.
And we got there, we got straight from the airport to the competition.
Oh no.
It was insane. So I was there. We remember we come from Cuba. It's like almost 12 hours different.
Oh my God.
Not sleeping all day and going straight to a competition. We had the luggage at the event, believe it or not. And then we put the Leo and ready to go. Well, I started on floor and of course half sleep.
Yeah.
My ankle roll. And then my ankle was stiff and ready. And then I had to keep going. I don't know how I did that floor routine.
Wow. I don't know how you did anything.
I tell you, because I still remember that was my first World Championships. I was competing with Shannon Miller. I was competing with Kim Smesko. I was competing with the best in the world. I was shaking. And I still had all this amazing obstacles in front of me that I just got in, and I did not see the event. I didn't warm up. I didn't do nothing.
Oh my
and
God.
I rolled my ankle on top of that. No, it was
oh my gosh.
Incredible experience.
I can't even have a conversation if I'm overtired.
That World Championships, I got 10th all around. I don't know how I did it.
That was your first World Championships.
Yes.
Right?
And
okay.
Then I got fourth on bars and I don't remember nothing after that. I know I had a rough vault and floor because my ankle was injured and all that, but I survived doing my bar routine and I got fourth on bar and I was like, fourth on bars? I went to final with Shannon Miller, Dominic Dawes, and then everybody else around the whole country, but it was Shannon Miller and Dominic Dawes in the finals. I was like, on bars. I was like, great.
Now, if somebody were to ask you which event you would have qualified for all around final, I'm sorry, which event you would have qualified to event finals in, what would you have guessed that you would have qualified in? Like before the meet, if somebody said, what do you
World Championships? If I would have been 100%, if I got 10th, all around, I would at least hopefully medal in something on vault. And I couldn't. It was just, I did the best I could. And but it was a good experience. It taught me from there that I could do anything.
I don't think you need any more lessons. I think you've proven, like, you get it. She's got tough skin. She can get over anything and succeed. Like, I think you don't
know. And then
lessons.
I fell on beam and my coach looked at me and he was upset, but he's like, okay, no worries.
You are a human.
Exactly. And it was interesting.
All right. We're going to go into another one now. That was a great story. Okay.
Oh, yes.
95.
Oh, 95. Yes, 95 Central American game. Right?
Pan Ams.
Oh, no.
Pan Ams.
Oh, Pan Ams. That, I have a great story, too, for this.
Yay.
It's just the thing that I can tell you about behind the scenes. I had chicken pox and this. You
what?
Know the chicken pox, right? I think it's the name.
Yeah,
that
I know called. What the chicken pox are. Are you kidding?
Okay. Well, I had chicken pox. I didn't have it when I got there. When I got there, I got the chicken pox. And I was like, why? I was like, right. And then I competed with the chicken pox. My body was itching, hurting, everything. Nicole, I'm telling you.
I don't even know what to say right now. And that's rare.
And my coach told me, don't tell anybody, because if you tell anybody, you're going to be going back home. So I competed, and again, I was competing with Shannon Miller, Dominic Dawes, and then that was my idol. And then I was going, started on vault, right? And then went to, started on floor, and then I did a gray floor, and then I did a gray vault. And then I was first all around at that. And then I don't put like in the chicken pox part of the excuse that I fell on beam. And I fell on beam, and I think it was more that the nerve of being with these two athletes and the experience of being the first. And I look up and I said, oh my goodness, I am on first. And I remember that Shannon Miller's coach came by me and then round me to get me nervous.
Steve Nuno tried to mad dog you at BNAMS?
Not Steve Nuno, was the female.
Wait a second.
She will kill me because I...
Wait a second. Peggy Liddick.
Peggy Liddick, yes. I know.
Because you and first tried to mad dog you at Pan Am's.
Yes. And then she was like right next to me. I was like, why is she so close to me? And I don't know. I had to talk to her one day maybe and talk about that experience. But she was nervous. Maybe she was nervous too that I was beating Shannon Miller at that time. Well, I fell on beam and I messed it up. I blew it because I got fourth, and then it was I got fourth all around. And I think it was Shannon Miller second. It was Dominic Dawes, and third was Amanda Borden, and then I was fourth. And I couldn't keep it together. I fell.
Don't you dare give Peggy Liddick credit for that.
I know. It was the chicken pox.
Oh my gosh. So I keep pausing this part because I've never seen anybody do a pirouette like this. You like jump off of your hands right here. How did you do that? What is that technique and how do you do it so fast? Do you see what I'm talking about?
The half full?
No. That you just do a half pirouette.
Oh,
they're just a
full pirouette. Oh, that was my coach technique. He used to teach me how to do the half.
Right here, boom.
Yeah, and laying in the mixed grip into the half out, just to have a fast. And my bars wasn't my best event, of course. I had a little bit of arch and here and there, but he always managed to keep me in the bar. So in Cuba, he was very, very good with the be able to keep me in the events, like tricks here and there to not make me fall. Mm-hmm. And that was very good because that was how I was able to be 7-time national champions in Cuba. And because he managed how to like, maybe I was technically I wasn't all correct, but I didn't miss much. So that was good. And he was a great coach.
You kept finding yourself in bars finals. So obviously
true.
All right.
Yes, I guess I'm a fighter.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay, so we've got two more. Are you having fun?
Yes, okay, yes. Good. Lots of fun, thank you.
Good. Okay, so this is 2003 US Championships.
Okay.
Finals on vault. This is the year before trials, year before the Olympics.
Right. Yes, that was... That was great year for me. And I wish it would have ended up a little bit better, because right after that, I got injured at World Championships. But I started that year with my first day of Nationals. I got first all around. I did a great meet. And this is the second year, the second day. And I, of course, I did a good vault. But I didn't do, I fell on bars in the two catch off. And just because of that mistake, I got fourth all around. But it was overall, I was pretty happy with it, with that competition, because I proved myself that I'm able to be the national champion at least one day. But back then, it was the two combined scores make you the national champion. And the first day was to do an individual event plus the all around for the second day. So I did get first on vault and first or second on floor. I don't remember, but I was pretty happy with it. Even though I did a mistake, I proved it that I was able to, not only me, but proved everybody around that I'm able to be in the top at least one day.
So by this point in your career, when you were not only in the mix, you were at the top of the mix. And even with mistakes, right? I mean, you had a mistake on bars, you were still at the top of the mix. Is this when you started feeling like maybe this Olympics thing is not just a dream anymore? Were you seeing the way that where you were headed? Now, I know an injury unforeseen happened, but at 2003 championships, did you envision that this could be a real thing next year?
Yes. I was hoping that I was able to be 100% healthy for the Olympics and be able to be at the all-around finals. Yes, because my skills were getting clean up since the years before, and then my consistency was there. It's just, I don't remember what I fell on the to catch up, but I don't remember the last time before that moment that I fell on the catch up. It was years and years I never fell on that skill. So it was just, oh, I got this. And that wrong. I made a mistake and it cost me. But you learn from it. And then you go back to the gym and work with that mindset every time, and then never think it's over until it's over. And then always 1 minute at a time or 1 second at a time, you have to be there instead of just, oh, I needed to do is just hit my routines. No, you have to be every single time aware of what you're doing so you can accomplish it. And it just was a lesson. Yeah. Nice lesson.
Something that you keep doing too, which is kind of proving wrong what people normally expect. And you did it by being at that point older. Now that wouldn't be considered, but you proved that at 26, you can come in there and you can really be successful. You also proved that you're not just a vaulter and a tumbler. You proved that you can do all the events. And something else that really stood out to me was this quality that most gymnasts that are as powerful as you are not also really flexible. And is that something that were you naturally just flexible? Did you work on that because you knew you were powerful? How did that happen?
When I was a little, I was pretty flexible. That was my joints were pretty flexible. I started to like not be as much after I injured my back with that spina bifida problem. But yeah, I always were able to like do double joints, stretching, and then put my feet on the floor, you know, when you arch. And then I was very naturally flexible. But I also had to like work that, because through the years, when you grow, and then I was so long in the sport, you lose this then, and you have to like try to figure out how to you know, get the in and outs, because, oh, I used to be so flexible. What happened? And then, then you get tight, your hips get tight, your back gets tight. And I had to like manage. I also had 5 years off. That was very helpful for my body. And, but at the same time, I had to retrain all my flexibility and all that. And then it took me 6 months to get back in shape. But, you know, not bad. But it was struggle there.
Did you do a switch leap on your bad leg on beam?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I feel like people needed to talk about that more.
Since I was little, I was taught one switch leap and the other switch leap. I used to do that when I was little on the floor as a pass. And when it happened, I was able to do half. I said, oh, why don't you just do switch leap half? And then that was a nice bonus. And then I went for it and I did it. So
yeah, that was.
You're right.
It looked just as comfortable. It was wonderful. I think it was probably past 180, knowing what your leaps looked like. But I just think the world needs to give you a little more credit for switch leaping on your opposite leg. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Okay, here's the last one, and we're going in order here. You'll definitely know what this is, and I'm just so excited that I get to watch this with you. Is this one of the best days of your life?
Yes. Yes. I was special at that moment. The qualifying event, I was so excited here. I couldn't contain. I was like, oh my goodness, it doesn't matter what I do. Yes, I had to do my job, but I'm happy. I'm fine in finals. Because my qualifying event wasn't as expected. I stumbled a little bit on my first vault, that was the Yushchenko, and then I was like, what am I doing? And I didn't think I was, well, I should not think, everybody, Mara, didn't think I was going to go to finals. And so she's like, oh, I'm sorry, Anya, but you blew it. And then I was like, And as soon as she said that, well, it wasn't in my control after that, but I was just praying and said, thanks. I mean, I was saying, God, if I have the opportunity to be in finals, I'm going to do everything I can to prove myself that I can do this. Because from being one of the contenders to medal to be sixth in the finals, like going into finals, I was sixth place. It was very nerve-wracking, and then like was nervous. I was nervous in coming from that injury, my ACL. I wasn't 100% because I was able to do half on fulls, and I did half on one and a half. And period to the Olympics, I also had. If you notice, I have tapes on my feet. I had like a severe tendonitis on one of my foot. So they were very nervous. Every other coach was very nervous that I was going to be able to do my job in finals. So they did not allow me to do my final, my second vault. Mm-hmm. So that would prohibit me to go to finals. And a few days before the preliminaries, I prove all the coaches that I'm able to do it. And they said, well, if you do a cold vault, in the back on the gym, mm-hmm. you are ready. And that's what the statements that Mara Crowley told me. Okay, Anya, so we don't know if you're capable, but if you do a cold two vaults, you'll be in finals. And or be allowed to do the second vault to qualify to finals. So I said, okay. And I was going to do floor, and I wasn't able to do the verification floor routine. So just because of that, I was pulled out of the floor lineup. And With that, I said, okay, I'm okay with, because I did not prove what I was able to do the day that I needed to do it. I was pulled out, but I'm okay with that. But do not, I'm not okay with not allowing me to do my second vault on my preliminary. I'm going to show you I'm able to do it. So it was a rough few days, but yeah. I managed to prove them that I'm able to do it, and that this happened, and so I was so happy. I know that everybody said, how do you feel? This is one of the interviews right after the silver medal. So how does it feel to come to the Olympics with the expect to get a gold and get silver?
Please tell me you said shut the hell up.
I was like, no, you did not ask me that. I said, I was very polite, and I said, it is a privilege to be at the Olympics and to get a silver medal for the United States, no matter what medal it is. It is after a year that I have come and I have come to injury my knee and not even able to do my 100% at nationals and made the Olympic team. This is the icing on the cake, no matter what medal it was. And that's how I answered. And then they said,
and you can shut okay. The hell up.
I thought about it. But
I know you're thinking it. Wow. So you ended up being the first American to win an Olympic medal since Mary Lou Retton. Were you aware of that statistic when it happened?
Yes. It did. They said it, and then I was like, wow. Following Mary Lou is an honor. And I know it wasn't a gold like she did. It was a silver, but it's still a medal.
Oh, that's awesome. And you looked like when you landed that, and guys listening, make sure you go to the YouTube channel and check out the Anya Hatch playlist, and you'll see what I'm talking about here. But you could see it in your face. You landed that, and I don't know if you just, the reaction that you had and the Anya fist pump and the smile on your face was just that you made both of your vaults in that situation, or did you know that this was going to be good enough to medal?
Nope, I didn't know that was going to be good enough to medal, because I was happy with my performance, but I still stepped out of the line, and that is a big deal on finals. And it's like, mm-hmm. I went back in, and it's like, nothing happened, and I showed like I was like proud, and then I think the judges saw it, but they're just like, I loved her attitude. Why not? Give it a second.
Your
gymnastics. I don't know if it went like that, but I was hoping to get a medal, you know, because the Russians were good, and of course the Romanians as well. And yeah, it was interesting.
You did it. After all the trials and tribulations, yet she persisted. And so glad you did. That was so amazing to watch. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I know you got your little ones that have been incredible during this. I don't know what you did.
Oh, he's sleeping.
Oh, he fell asleep.
He went up and now he's sleeping again.
Oh my goodness. All right. So my final question for you, and I ask everybody this at the end of the show. When I say the word joy, what does that make you think?
My kids, gymnastics, just happy with how my life have gone, and my family, and of course, Jesus, you know, I'm Christian, so I have a lot of joy on that, and what else? Contribute back to the sport. Coaching is important to me. It's just my entertainment every day, going to help the athletes to be better and train. and to grow on the sport and on life, because gymnastics always teach you like different other things. What else? Of course, a new system now with the PYL. I have a lot of joy on that, working with Jean and doing all these clips in clinics. And yes, you can go to pylsport.org.
And I'll link that in the show notes for everyone.
There you go.
Anya Kahn's project also?
Yes. Yes, I do contribute to the system in Cuba and to help them. And I send to my families and different things.
Was that choice to do the Anya Cares project directly connected to what you experienced when you were not able to go to the Olympics due to financial reasons, quote unquote?
Yes. It's just giving back it to them and to in my family. It makes me feel better because I know that it's a tough life to be an athlete in living Cuba and in all the limitations and all that. I lived it and it's for every athlete there, and I know I think of them, and then they deserve a lot, that more than they deserve more than they have right now. And so yes.
Great. Well, thank you so much. And again, I'll link all of that in the show notes so people can participate however they feel like they can. And thank you so much. I feel like I should whisper because he's sleeping, but he doesn't care, huh?
Oh, no, he's good. You're welcome. It's just been great talking to you. Just great videos. Oh, my goodness. It just reminds me of all these stories.
I think I had like 8 videos. I'm like, I can't do 8. This is going to be a 4-hour interview, but there were just so many that connected to just these huge milestones and accomplishments you had. So, but the, yes, exactly. The stories that come up when you're watching it, it's exactly why I do it. And I'm so, it's just so cool to hear. So thank you for that. And let's stay in touch. And I hope to get you back for a mini-sode down the road.
Sounds great. Yes. Right. I'd love to. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.
And that's going to be it for today. Thank you guys for continuing to listen. Please spread the word. If you haven't already, subscribe, rate, and review. And go over to our YouTube channel / What Makes You Think podcast and subscribe there as well. You'll get to see some of these interviews. You'll get to see some outtakes and some snippets and some fun surprises coming soon. Oh, I almost forgot. Be sure to check out the Patreon. Trying my best to keep this thing moving forward, and any support would be greatly appreciated. And as I mentioned before, it's not just giving, you're also getting. There's some little treats and some not so little treats, so check it out. Oh, and one more thing. I'm on Cameo. I know it's super weird. I think it's super weird too, but there I am. So you want to get a little personalized message, check me out on Cameo, and the links are in the show notes. Until next time, keep thinking outside the box. Bye.